Hello, everybody. It's Sam from Financial Samurai, and I've got a fun one today. It's about how to accept financial help from our parents as adults without feeling like a deadbeat loser. So I don't know if you saw in the news the other week, maybe, there's this 30-year-old guy living with his parents, and his parents asked him to move out many, many times, but he refused. So the parents decided to take him to court and sue him, and they won. So the kid had to move out. His friend picked him up, packed his stuff up, and I don't know where he went. It was really a surreal kind of thing because he went on all the networks and said, hey, you know, I think it's not fair and I wasn't a deadbeat because I did my own laundry and I made my own food. But regardless, I think we can empathize a little bit with this guy because we know that housing prices have gone straight up in many, many cities, and also it's really hard to find a job now, a well-paying job, because of globalization. Ever since high school, I felt like I've been a burden to my parents. I got in a lot of trouble as a kid, and therefore felt extremely guilty accepting their financial support. You know, trouble as in trouble with the law, I got suspended. I just caused my parents a lot of heartache, I think. So guilt is one of the main reasons why I decided to go to public university, the College of William and Mary, for $2,800 a year in private tuition rather than attend some private school for $25,000 a year back in 1995. I promised myself that as soon as I got done with college, I would never ask for financial assistance again. There was no way I'd graduate and move back in with them. And this fear of failure is what ignited me to burn the midnight oil at work. And I just had it in my mind that I needed to pay my parents back in adulthood. That was really number one in my head. So through Spartan living, the first few years out of college, I lived in a studio with another guy for a couple years, and I lived in this really crappy two-bedroom, one-bath at the edge of Chinatown in San Francisco for another year. I was able to save enough money for a down payment to buy a small condo at the age of 26. Granted, I did have a really lucky stock pick that actually accounted for at least 50% of the down payment. But from that day forward, I had a belief that if I had been willing to share a studio with another dude, you know, for a couple years and eat $1 cheeseburgers for dinner and shun partying like a broke rock star, so could others, right? This is just your mental fallacy. I was sure my way was the only right way to be a responsible adult. But the reality is I was wrong, really dead wrong. Since becoming a parent, I now realize how my stubbornness got in the way of achieving financial freedom sooner. So let me explain. I've been on this open house binge. You know what? I've been going to open houses almost every week for 16 years since I came to San Francisco in 2001. I just love it because you can see, you know, what's for sale. You can see what the prices are. It gets some good, you know, design ideas, and it's just fun to walk around the neighborhood and exercise. So at a recent open house, I overheard a 63-year-old Cantonese mother tell the listing agent in Mandarin that she was house hunting for her son. And given the house's asking price was $2.2 million, I couldn't help but join in on the conversation. So I asked the listing agent in Mandarin, you know, what percentage of buyers receive parental assistance, something like, 请问一下，我想知道百分之几 有父母的帮助, right? And it was an open-ended question asked so that I could ultimately assert my opinion that adult children should be buying their own houses. I mean, what an annoying person I am. But anyways, I just wanted to talk and find out some information. So the listing agent said about 75% of my buyers last year had parental help. 75%, folks. So I was pretty shocked. But you know what? Not really, because heck, San Francisco, the median home price is now $1.5 to $1.6 million. So I responded, and this is in front of the 63-year-old mother too, isn't it bad for the adult children's self-esteem and work ethic to have their parents come up with a down payment or pay cash for their house outright? Can you imagine how indebted the daughter-in-law must feel as well? So a fireball formed in the 63-year-old mother's mouth, and she spat out, "Of course not! I love my son. Why shouldn't I use my money to help him while I'm still alive, to help his life? It's all about respecting your elders anyway." So fair enough. Then the real estate agent chimed in, "How are my kids supposed to afford a house right after college?" And I responded, you know, this is a typical personal finance response, "By working hard, saving aggressively, and investing wisely for the next 10 years like everybody else. Why do kids who have just graduated from college deserve to own a home outright anyway? Lives change. Why lock them down before they know what they want to do? And with that, the 63-year-old mother started getting personal. She responded, "You must be an only son. You're inheriting everything anyway, so you're not thinking of how difficult it is for multiple siblings to get ahead." I responded, "This isn't true. I've talked to my dad, who said everything would be split equally between my sister and myself, even though I'm the one who calls them all the time, and I'm the one who's going to take care of them in their old age. But regardless, I don't expect a penny from them." Then the realtor responded, "By the time the kid, my kid, her kid, buys 10 years from now, the house price will be even more affordable." So the listing agent's response made the most sense. I told them both I saw their points and I thanked them for the discussion. I don't think buying coastal city real estate right now in 2018, 2019, 2020 is a great idea unless you plan to live in it for the next 10 years. It's a suboptimal move. I think the rate of appreciation will slow, flatline, and then decline. But who knows? Prices have been going up for a long time. However, if I extend my holding time period for 25 years, I can envision my son asking me in the year 2043, "Hey dad, why didn't you buy more property between 2018 to 2021 when you had the chance, dad?" And I'm thinking to myself, that's a good point, son. To me, it doesn't make sense to let him graduate college at age 22 and then work and save for another 10 years and then buy property at 32 if I can afford to buy a property for him right now. Yet I still struggle with the idea of giving a house to my son like 75% of homeowners do in San Francisco and probably New York City and other expensive coastal cities, because I firmly believe you can never fully appreciate what you have if you don't earn it. I would hate to take away my son's pride by buying everything for him. It's incredibly, incredibly gratifying to buy something or build something on your own. Yet at the same time, it's likely a better move to invest today than wait 30 years from now. I think we can all agree, right? Because inflation alone is 2% a year. So if nothing else, prices will be double in 30 years thanks to inflation. Therefore, I think the optimal solution as financially independent parents who are afraid of screwing up their children is to continue investing as much as possible today in order to maximize our wealth. And our wealth will then give us options for our children in the future. And if our children are kind, thoughtful, hardworking, grateful human beings, then we can surprise them. We can surprise them with some financial assistance. That's what I plan to do for my son. But I'm not gonna let him expect me to help him. And if they're ungrateful, spoiled brats who never give you a ring, then you can leave them fending for themselves. I think that's really, really fair. So for those of you who are adults who need or want financial assistance from your parents, here's how to not feel like a deadbeat loser, if you feel like one, because I felt like one, and I know a lot of people in my generation felt like one. So one, if you don't accept reality, you will fall behind. If the majority of people in expensive cities are buying a home with the help of their parents, you will never be able to afford a home at an earlier age at a price you can afford without them. That's the reality. If the majority of people use family connections to get a job, then you'd be a fool not to ask for an intro from a connected family member. So you need to swallow your pride and realize this is the way the world works right now. Two, your parents would rather use their money to help you while they're still alive. Helping your kids while you are alive is much more rewarding than helping them after you're dead. Because your parents love you, they want you to have at least everything they had growing up. You know, my mom continues to give me money on my birthday and for Christmas, and I really don't need it. I am financially independent. But she continues to give me money because it makes her feel good. So if it makes her feel good, I will accept it, and I'll use her money and tell her what I used it for to make her happy. Three, you are their most prized investment. You can either pay them back with interest, or you can pay them back by being an incredible son or daughter who always calls, always visits, and takes care of them when they need help. Another way to pay them back is to do incredible things with your life that help other people. A final way to pay them back is to simply be happy, or at least content. Your parents see the money they put into you as their greatest investment. They want to see some fantastic results while they're still alive. 4, you will pay it forward. Not only do parents want their children to live their best lives and have all the opportunity affordable to them, they would also love to have their grandchildren live their best lives as well. A grandparent helping fund their grandchild's 529 college savings plan is one common way of helping. By paying it forward, you honor your parents by helping your kids. You also extend the dividend payment of their investment for potentially another century, right? Not only does it go to you, it goes to your kids, and your kids last another 100 years. Amazing. 5, you can always give it all away. If you start feeling tremendously guilty for all the financial assistance your parents have given you, you can always give all the money away to those less fortunate. Or you can stop working at a soulless job for money and prestige and start working in an organization that is entirely focused on helping the less fortunate. Organizations such as foster homes, homeless shelters, food banks, nonprofits. There are so many organizations out there that help other people, and it's really not for the money. It's for giving people opportunities. And then finally, a greater chance of becoming a net positive to society. The more assistance you get from your parents, the higher the chance you'll be a regular tax-paying citizen, and the government and the people will love you for it. Given their massive budget deficits, your country could use as many stable taxpayers as possible for the greater good. So if I could do it over again, rewind my life back to 22, 23 years old, working in New York City, I would have asked my parents for some help. My blindness for independence after college made me miss out on an amazing two-bedroom, two-bathroom, 1,300 square feet, double balcony New York City condo with a view of the Chrysler Building near Madison Square Park for $785,000. $785,000, that's like nothing. It was the year 2000 and I had just gotten my bonus for 4 months of work in 1999 and a raise to $55,000 from $40,000. Back then, it wasn't a lot of money. $40,000 in New York City, Manhattan, was not a lot of money. Remember, I was living in a studio. But $55,000, not too bad. If I hadn't been too proud to beg, I would have discussed with my parents why it would be wise to help me come up with a $157,000 down payment to buy this condo. You know, I tell them, look, I'd get my existing roommate to come and pay me $1,200 a month, and if that wasn't enough, I'd find another roommate to pay me another $1,200 a month, and I'd carry the rest of the condo payment myself and work my butt off to ensure I remained employed. I really would. This 1,300 square foot condo would definitely be paid off by now and be worth at least $2.1 million. So in other words, due to my pride, I missed out on more than $1.3 million in gains. But now that I think about it a little bit further, I don't know if my parents had $157,000 to lend me or to come up with a down payment for me. So maybe it's all moot. I better ask my parents what they would have done. So just like how the women's liberation movement created the need for two paychecks to afford property, we now have the Bank of Mom and Dad movement, which requires triple income statements and balance sheets to afford property. And as we continue to live longer and longer, it's likely we'll need quadruple income statements and balance sheets to afford property as grandparents start getting aggressively involved. Pretty soon, you won't have to do a thing for your money because it'll all be given to you. Hence, parents need to figure out a way to instill good values and meaning before money destroys an entire generation who doesn't appreciate the value of hard work. As they say in China, from rice paddy field to rice paddy field in three generations. Thanks so much, everybody. I'm curious to know whether you received financial assistance from your parents or grandparents as an adult, and whether it's a good idea to keep helping our children long after they've graduated from school.